My dear brothers and sisters, in the hope that we share. The year is half gone, time is flying. Our lives are flying by too, aren't they? And we all wonder on days like today how we're all going. There's a hymn that was most likely sung on the occasion of our baptism from the Black Hymn Book 206. Goes along the lines, O speed thee, brother or sister, on thy way, and to thine armour cling, with girded loins the call obey that grace and mercy bring. There is a battle to be fought, an onward race to run, a crown of glory to be sought, a victory to be won. O faint not, brother, for thy sighs are heard before his throne. The race must come before the prize, the cross before the crown. They are very encouraging words, and they all encourage us to run the race that is set before us, as we are encouraged each day as we read from God's Word, the Bible. And it's a race versus time, not necessarily against the ticking clock, but against time in general, the limit of time that God has placed on all of us. And it is a race against ourselves, is it not, as to how well we'll do in God's sight. Are we doing our personal best? Because it is a race for eternal life. We are here today to remember Jesus, who has made all things possible for us, who in Hebrews 6 is described as our forerunner, a person whose steps we are instructed to follow. And when we read about the life of Jesus, we can only but admire how he trained himself all the way through his life, how he trained his heart and his mind into concentrating on the things of God. You become what you focus on. From an early age, Jesus was preparing himself for the ultimate event, the giving of his life, because that's what he read about when he read the book of Isaiah. Jesus increased in stature and wisdom with both men and with God, we're told. And even though he was God's son, every day he learned obedience by the things that he experienced, that he suffered, and that he endured, the hurdles that he overcame in life. Jesus' last words, as he wore the crown of thorns and hanged dying on the cross, were, "It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." In the giving of his life, Jesus had finished the race that God asked him to run. He overcame human weakness, his human nature, by living a life without fault, without sin. First, that he might save himself, and he knew that. And also that he might be able to take away the sin of all the other people in the world who would turn to him. People like you and me, who would follow in the race that he ran. In 1 Peter chapter 2 we read, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that we should follow his steps." And so we've all been invited to run the race, to follow Jesus, and through God's grace share in the same wonderful reward that Jesus received. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now this is a race like no other race. None of us know how long our personal race is going to be. But we all know that one day Jesus will return, and our Saviour is coming, and the events in the world must really be cheering us on at this stage. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every man according as his work shall be. And we read a couple of similar verses out of the readings out of Revelation today, that everyone is going to be judged according to how they have run their race, according as their work shall be. Yet we all have a weakness, don't we, brothers and sisters? Even though we know that it's coming, we probably daily fail to properly train ourselves or adequately prepare. And it is a problem, and we've got to keep at it. Do we find ourselves consciously thanking God every day for the things that we have? Do we think about His plan and purpose? And whether or not our race is in time with His plan? The Bible is our training guide for life. And it provides us with the direction and the hope to keep going towards that salvation that will make us wise through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And many times as we read the Bible, we have the truth of God's word explained to us as it's likened to physical exercise. If we think about what athletes have to go through to prepare for an event such as the Olympic Games, and believe it or not, they're on in about 3 or 4 weeks' time, in the midst of the world turmoil, there's going to be another round of Olympic Games. We have yet again an opportunity to bring forward some important lessons for us in our race. I want to introduce you to a man called Herb Elliott. Famous Australian. I'm sure you all know Herb Elliott. No one here has heard of Herb Elliott. That's a pity. Okay, he was born in 1938, and you could argue that last century he was the best middle distance runner of all time. And you could argue this for a couple of reasons. Number one is that he was consistent. He never lost a race. Okay? He ran in the 800 metres or the 1500 metres or the mile. And in 1958, he broke the 4 minute mile 10 times. Okay, not just once or twice, but consistently he won, and he was always ahead of the rest of the pack. He was just an average Australian, same height as me, maybe a little bit shorter. If you shrunk 20 kgs off my weight, you might see the sort of athlete that we're talking about and take off 30 years. He was only 22 when in 1960 he also broke the world record for the 1500 metres, which I think he did that 17 times as well. Very consistent. And what he said was, "The Olympics gave my life a focus, and the daily process of training taught me about overcoming my own weaknesses." He retired in 1960 when he won the Olympics 1500 metres in Rome, probably because there was a New Zealander that you might know of, Peter Snell, who was also born in 1938. He didn't really sort of come on the scene until a few years later, and he actually broke Herb Elliott's mile record. But he didn't beat him in the 1500 metres. But anyway, Herb Elliott, his career was without being beaten. Our Heavenly Father has provided us in our lives with a focus, a daily process of training for God's kingdom. What does the verse say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and as Brother Mark was alluding to, and everything else that we care or worry about in this life will sort itself out for us. And the process of training and going through God's word and going through life as this race, it's all about learning about our weaknesses and how we can overcome them. The skill and the ability needed by an athlete to break world records and win gold medals does not come naturally. No one is born with the talent to just turn up at events and win without training hard. Yes, some people have the benefit of natural abilities, but without the hours of focused training and intent, the skills just don't develop, and you probably won't even get picked for the running team. And it's the same for us, brethren and sisters. Our focus is to train ourselves in the way of God's kingdom, God's way of life. And gradually, we learn how to overcome our weaknesses. Hymn 206 tells us that there is a battle to be fought, an onward race to run. Unless we continue to fight and go against our human tendencies, we possibly could miss out on selection for the prize. So what can we learn from any athlete? Well, athletes set themselves a daily routine. They commit hours to the cause. They train, they refine their technique, and they build strength and fitness and endurance. They're careful as to what they eat, their diet. And it's often very different to what everyone else around them is eating. And they also give up a fair chunk of their social life as well to ensure that they don't miss out on those training moments and that they are ready and fit to perform to the best of their abilities. So what about our daily routines, brothers and sisters? Is the daily reading our daily effort? In Acts 17, the Bereans were commended for the way they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was actually true. To examine the scriptures is so much more than just doing the daily readings. And I can remember as a child, sometimes the daily readings other members in my family would read as fast as they could to get on to the next part of the day. Or sometimes they would actually deliberately read super slow to frustrate someone else in the family because they had something else that they thought was better to do. So we need to be feeding our minds on God's word. Where our focus is where our growth will be. We need to refine our technique and understanding of the Bible so that we are better prepared to give a good, honest answer to anyone that asks us about what we believe. Especially at this time in world history, more and more people every day are going to be wanting to know or have an inkling of what you believe, but they will want to know, what do you believe? And we'll all have an opportunity. We need to be like David, who writes in Psalms 119, "Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." People who go to the Olympic Games do it for a reward, for the chance of receiving a medal, for glory, of being the best, and often in these days there is a financial opportunity attached to it as well. But all these things we know will perish with the using and are basically vanity. For every athlete who is successful in their sporting endeavour, there are so many more who have tried and will receive nothing at the end of the day. In 1 Corinthians 9 we read, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate," that means self-restrained, "in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but in our race, brothers and sisters, it's an incorruptible crown. So how much more should we be striving for the promise of everlasting life to come. As Paul says in 1 Timothy 4, exercise thyself rather unto godliness, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. The promise of a better life to come has been made, and it has been extended to people throughout all ages. And in Hebrews 11, there's even a short list. It's almost like that reference to the book of life out of our reading out of the book of Revelation. There's a short list of faithful men and women who have run their race. They gave their personal best, even through appalling conditions. But they haven't yet received the promise. What does the verse go on to say? That they are waiting, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. When you read on in Hebrews, we read about how we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. So let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Our present day sufferings are nothing compared to what Christ endured. So when we feel faint or weary, we should think about what lies ahead for those people who follow Jesus. In Romans 5, we are told to glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hopefully in all our lives, as we learn how to run our race, we develop those characteristics. Patience, experience, and hope. We all require exercise in the truth, so that afterward we may yield the reward of righteousness and through the grace of God receive a crown for a race well run. The crown in store for a faithful runner is described in many places of Scripture as a crown of righteousness, a crown of life, a crown of rejoicing, a crown of glory, ruling with Christ as kings and priests, something to really look forward to. And this has been made possible because Christ is our forerunner. In the middle distance race, there are often other runners that set the pace, that stir up the air ahead of you, so that you yourself can, off the back of their effort, reach the finish line in the time required. And that's what Jesus has in effect done for us. We gain from his effort. In Romans 8, we read, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And when we think of that, all things in our lives work together for our ultimate good. We should be encouraged to accept the few hurdles that come our way. We face up to them and rely on God using his word for our guidance and strength. If we stumble, let's pick ourselves up and carry on. Christ's words in John 16 cheer us on. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. It is only through Christ's life and sacrifice, as represented in the emblems before us, that we have the opportunity to run and finish our race and have the wonderful hope of the victory over death at the end. In 1 Corinthians 15 we read, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. Our labour is not in vain, brothers and sisters. We are always in God's presence, and our Lord Jesus, who sees everything that we do. Proverbs says, the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. When Christ, our righteous judge, returns, may each one of us be able to say with Paul, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. So until that day, brethren and sisters, may the words from the second verse of hymn 209 encourage us. Run the straight race through God's good grace. Lift up thine eyes and seek his face. Life with its way before us lies. Christ is the path, and Christ the price.